and the sheep are never safe.
We are back in the Fan Run Studios. Cameron Black, Draven Fine, Charlie Collier. Hayden Wallen is on his way.
Whoa, wait. No way. Hayden's late? Wait. Are you kidding me?
To be fair to Hayden, I mean, noon is pretty early.
It is
right.
Pretty early.
Right, yeah. Really just pushing the time, huh?
Yeah.
God, I love Hayden.
It happens. I'm sure he'll be here.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
So it hasn't changed times recently, but
week, it's just like, do you just not care anymore?
Yeah.
Or do you still feel bad?
I don't know if Hayden ever
gave
it a
real answer.
He's gonna
walk in with that little grin he does.
He's gonna look grumpy, and then he's gonna sit down. And he's gonna say something quietly without his mic on.
Yeah, he's gonna,
that's what he does.
Turn it on
about every time.
Yeah.
How you doing, Cam?
I'm doing well. Getting through the week. It's Thursday. We're getting there. Getting through the week. It's a weird week for me. I don't know why.
I agree.
I'm glad the weather kind of is cleared up a little bit. You know, very rainy and gloomy most of the early week. But I'm doing good now. How are you guys?
Spectacular as always.
Love to hear it. Love the energy. Cam, I'm doing good. Doing good, man. Getting close to graduation.
Oh, yeah, you are.
A little excited.
Do you care?
No. The way I said that, I was kind of blown out of proportion. No.
I feel like I'm supposed to care. Like, I don't know. I got all these friends that are going to their torch night.
Posting the pictures.
Taking their pictures. They're decorating their caps. Uh-huh. They're talking about it nonstop, painting the rock before they graduate. I'm just like, dude, I don't care.
I haven't done anything differently this week.
I just got a cap and gown 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, same. Literally same.
If my mom didn't care, I wouldn't even go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem like it's almost more for, the family and stuff like that than anything else. They want to see you up there, be able to take their pictures, be like, oh, that's my boy!
Yeah, I mean, it's about my mom and my grandma's. I don't care.
But gotta give them that experience, I guess. They want to see their kids graduate and be like, I did that.
They did kind of do it, I'll be honest. I didn't.
Exactly.
Wasn't you, huh?
Gotta give them their, what they kind of deserve there, though, but I guess story of the day is Josh Heupel does it again.
Uh-oh.
It's another recruit.
Look at him. He's coming.
This time we get another transfer in, another guy that the previous classes missed on, couldn't quite bring in, but we were able to he was able to bring him in this time around as he was transferring. It was Mississippi State wide receiver Javonte Payton has committed to transferring to Tennessee. Speedy wide receiver, pretty speedy wide receiver. He's actually out of Nashville, too. So he's a guy we tried to recruit all the way back in 2017 out of Hillsboro High School.
What are you doing over here, Chuck?
There's a fly in the studio. I caught it with my bare hand.
Okay,
Karate Kid. I'm sorry to
interrupt. Where's the fly?
I let it go over there.
Oh, and let it go.
Okay, Karate Kid.
Yeah, really? Look at you, man.
But, we tried to get this guy out of Hillsboro High School back in 2017. He ended up choosing Ole Miss, kind of based on, grade issues. Didn't last long there. Ended up going to JUCO because of the same issues. But came back around in 2019, I think it was, and ended up going to Mississippi State. Didn't do a ton of stuff at Mississippi State. He had 28 receptions, 372 yards in his career there. Last year, though, he had 19 catches for 225 and a touchdown. Biggest game was the opener. He had 6 catches for 122 against LSU.
Which was, their best game of the year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Their only game that
that's what everybody was
good,
like, oh, no,
basically.
Mike Leach going to be good? Yeah. But
ladies and gentlemen, Hayden Wallen.
He made it!
Hey! Woo! How you doing, Hayden?
Welcome, Hayden.
Throws his hands up. Not a good start.
You all right, bud?
Yeah.
Make sure you turn the mic on.
It was on.
Okay.
It's on.
I think you're good. Yeah, I think
just
you're good.
Checking.
I should have set my alarm this morning, but.
Oh, is that the excuse this time?
That's just what happened. It's not an excuse.
Just stating facts. Okay. Well, glad you made it. Glad you're here.
Thoughts on Javonte Payton.
Yeah, we're talking about how Heupel does it again.
I mean, what's the argument for him like wanting to come to Tennessee? Because he like wants to play in a big time offense. I mean,
he's from Nashville. I think he kind of wanted to come back to state, you know, in state stuff like that.
Looking at
like he had a tweet where he was basically just like, "I was always meant to be home."
Yeah,
tweeted out, you know, him and Tennessee jersey, stuff like that. It's like, well, hey, bro, should have came in 2017. But, we got him finally.
Should he have, though?
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, 2017, his grades weren't good enough. That's why he had to take the JUCO route.
No.
And then coming out of JUCO, I mean, it was down to Tennessee and Mississippi State. Yep. And we didn't really care about him enough to get him here, honestly. He went down to Starkville. I got a lot of people down in the football program in Starkville, and they've kind of told me, like, look, he's got some upside. Kind of a head case. He got passed up on the depth chart by a couple guys in spring, decided to transfer out. But, you know, for the most part, a good guy. They're rooting for him. And here he projects, you know, maybe, you know, competing for that wide receiver three, wide receiver four spot. Yeah. But potentially being, you know, the outside receiver just because Velus and Jalen Hyatt both, you know, are better in the slot.
You think he's outside? I saw his athletic background. They talked about him being a running back out of high school. That makes me think it's more of a slot guy. You give jet sweeps to, kind of used in that that regard. Because we talk about getting these guys in space. This feels like the guy you're going to do that with
a little bit. He's pretty versatile. I mean, I don't think he's better than Velus Jones Jr.
No,
I don't think he's better than Malachi Wideman. Yeah. I don't think he's better than Cedric Tillman. I don't think he's better than Jalen Hyatt.
A lot of stuff I saw was listing him as kind of like a pretty good home run threat. Guy with some speed, stuff like that, enough size to, you know, be a little physical out there with the defensive back, stuff like that. But I'll say it's probably good that he has experience in one of these fast-paced offenses like we're going to be running this year, obviously with him being down there with Mike Leach at Mississippi State.
I kind of had a little bit of a negative takeaway, though, Cam, because I don't know. I feel like if we're going to get anybody to come in here, any transfers to anybody, wouldn't you want defense? Like defense. And like, tell me if I'm wrong, receiver group, isn't that the group we felt almost most confident in going into the season, or at least felt – best about, like, hey, we got Jalen. Hey, you know, Ramel Keaton kind of went downhill, but then this offense, he could thrive. Like, I feel like we felt good about this group.
I almost forgot about Ramel Keaton.
Exactly, and he's still on the roster. So,
but I mean,
I feel like
with the offense we want to run, it doesn't hurt to add more depth. And we've added plenty of defense, and we're still in on more defenders. So I wouldn't be overly concerned.
I don't think he's
it.
Like taking this guy, and it's just like completely like, oh yeah, we're taking this guy over some defensive guys.
I think it's just
more people we're looking at, and like Charlie said, the depth is good in this kind of offense because like they're gonna be running, man. They're gonna be people subbing in and out. It's always good to have some guys that you know can actually play, you know, coming in and subbing in, and you know feel all right, but you can still get your offense, you know, be productive.
I think he's a guy that you can put on the outside and have him, you know, run off a safety and then run someone underneath because. You know, I mean, it's an offense that they like to take their shots downfield, but they also like a lot of those quick timing routes to get those guys, you know, a little bit of space right off the line of scrimmage to get the yards after catch. You know, the yak is really important in this system. So if you have a guy like Javonte Payton that safeties have to respect beating you over the top, you can run them off and then just have Velus Jones Jr. and Jalen Hyatt slip underneath and give them more space to create create something.
But I mean, there's also like you said, we got a lot of guys like, and you've named what four or five guys that are better than him. It just makes me think like, is this guy even going to really contribute? Is this guy even going to have a chance to like make an impact?
I mean,
like,
he just got passed up on state
steps after
they already graduated their leading receiver too. So no, I don't expect him to be, you know, some 6-7 target a game guy, but I expect him to be like a 15 snaps, 2 targets a game kind of guy.
Yeah, like he'll get some playing time for sure. Like you guys said earlier, he'll be in the, you know, competition for the third, fourth guy, stuff like that. It is gonna be Hyatt and you know Velus Jones are obviously our top two guys easily. But yeah, it's always nice to just add some more players in there, get some more depth. Nice to, you know, get an in-state guy back here where, you know, probably should have been in the first place. That, you know, that's been a big emphasis, is you want to keep your in-state talent. And
how much did that factor into this? Tennessee, like, even wanting this guy?
I feel like probably a little bit. And just getting
somebody from Tennessee,
in
like
the style of offense.
Right.
Yeah, I think that kind of like both correlated, and they like, yeah, why not take another warm body out there at receiver? But, you know, at least is used to this kind of stuff and been in similar systems, stuff like that. And if a kid wants to be here, I feel like that's a good sign too. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like it's probably just as much a case of him wanting to be here and us having a billion open scholarships.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what we just need. We just need people on the roster, man. At this point, like, it's we'll take people. And we kind of talked about the other day, like when we were talking about the linebacker from Texas. If there's a power five guy that, you know, can play a little bit, take him. Take them. Like, we could use the people on the roster, especially with, like you said, there's so many open scholarship positions right now. Just got to get some people in here, build up the team a little bit. Depth is important, especially when you're, you know, this style of play we're going to be doing. You got to be able to have subs and stuff like that. So, decent little get for Tennessee. High ball out here, trying to get stuff done. He's trying to bring people in. I think this is the fifth transfer he's gotten in since he's been hired. Obviously, after that, like, slow start where we weren't seeing any, you know, movement recruiting-wise, it's good that he's kind of, you know, kind of looks like he's settling in and picking up a little steam as far as this kind of stuff goes. So, pretty good to see. It's good to see. It's good to see us actually getting people. I do like that. So, we'll see, you know, obviously in the fall if he factors in, you know, with him being post-spring, see stuff through summer, see if he has any possible impact with this team. But nice little get for Heupel there. But we'll catch a break, come back on the other side. We got some other news going around in college football right now. We'll kind of get to that next, but stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, back in the studio here. So, Georgia is making moves as far as the basically college athletes making money stuff. We kind of talked about people making money, you know, early in the week. But Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has just signed a bill allowing student athletes to make money off their likeness, adding another state to the docket that's kind of, you know, taking this route and going this direction as far as college athletics go. The law takes effect January 1st. In a quick summary, the bill is basically relating to post-secondary education so as to provide student athletes participating in intercollegiate athletic programs at post-secondary educational institutes may receive compensation for the use of the student athlete's name, image, or likeness to provide for application to intercollegiate athletic associations to allow for professional representation of such student athletes participating in intercollegiate athletics. So basically, it also goes on to talk about how they are basically it repeals conflicting laws and stuff like that on the effective date. So basically, yeah, they're going the route of these college athletes are now, you know, legally allowed to make money off their likeness, joining states like Florida, Mississippi, stuff like that, and kind of also, like, trying to make them exempt from, you know, NCAA punishment at the same time. Not sure, you know, how the NCAA is going to, you know, correlate with this, if they can actually ban this in a way. I know they're also kind of trending the direction of, you know, legalizing the likeness and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly when that goes into effect, but these states are kind of starting to take the initiative and, you know, get laws like this passed. And it was funny, Brian Kemp was basically like, yeah, one of the reasons I signed this bill is to, you know, help Georgia win a national championship. And it's like, oh, wow, yeah, now Georgia will get good recruits. It's not like a... They've been doing that for a while.
They've been hurting her or something, so, huh? Right.
Yeah, so optimistic thinking there. But, yeah, just another state to the list of places trying to, you know, make it a little easier for collegiate athletes to make some money off their name.
How many states Are we up to now? What'd you say, 13, Chuck?
I think we're floating right around double digits.
Yeah, but I can't remember the exact number. I do see
Florida, Alabama, Mississippi. Yeah. Already passed these laws, so goes into effect July 1st. All right.
Yeah, so...
And you said they pretty much can avoid punishment from the NCAA. So the NCAA...
That was kind of the wording in this bill is what they're trying to prevent. I don't know necessarily how they do that. Like, if the NCAA was like, hey, this guy's suspended, yeah. I don't know, you know, how you would correlate that.
Because that would be the biggest issue, right? Just having to work around the NCAA and saying you can do this, this, and this, but you can't do that. Like, I feel like that would be the hardest part about it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what the NCAA, you know, can do against this, but...
I feel like the NCAA can just say, oh, cool, congratulations, Georgia. You're still suspended indefinitely. Like, what's your law have to do with anything? We're a business, you know? We're an organization. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting how they're doing this, too. They're basically doing it to where they're almost, like, redistributing the money. So, basically... The bill allows schools across the state to take up to 75% of the athlete's endorsement income. So, they're getting, like, obviously, like, a 25% cut.
Wait, say that again. Say that one more time.
It's allowing schools across the state to take up to 75% of an athlete's endorsement income.
75%?
Yeah. So, they take that, though, and that cut is deposited into a pool for all athletes at the school. And then redistributed upon the athlete's graduation. So it's kind of doing the stuff like where we touched on, like, oh, what happens to, like, these, you know, like the women's sports that aren't, like, making money, or some of the smaller men's sports, stuff like that. Basically, they're going to pool all this money together and then, like, distribute it at graduation.
I feel like everyone's just walking away with a double cheeseburger from McDonald's at that point.
Yeah, well,
got at a school, there's only going to be a small amount that are actually raking.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just going to piss people off. You're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
I think the University of Georgia said they're only taking 70%. You know, not the full 75. Yada yada yada. So, for example, if JT Daniels at Georgia signs a $100,000 endorsement deal, he's getting $30,000 of that. You know, to himself, but the other $70,000 goes into a pool.
Which
I'd be pretty pissed to be like, oh, I earned that $70,000. We're just gonna go give it to the rowing team. Okay, like
that's a good point. Yeah, and also. Like, we talked about this before, too. Like, Chuck's brought this up. The smaller schools, like, hey, this ain't going to help them. Like, you're going to get – nobody cares about the best athlete at Central Michigan. Like, we still care about him.
Like, when Northern Illinois had Jordan Lynch at quarterback, who was a Heisman contender, what, maybe he gets a car dealership to give him $2,000 to be in a commercial?
Yeah.
That pretty much just goes to the school.
He gets, like 300 of it. Yeah. And then when he graduates, another $2.
This does seem kind of pointless.
Well, I know Brian Kemp was talking about how he was like, oh, yeah, this could help Georgia. But I could also see this as a downside in recruiting because, like, you know, a player could come here or, you know, be talking to us and Georgia, and we could be like, hey, you're getting to keep all your endorsement money, man. Like, that's all you. And then Georgia's like, hey, yeah, sorry, we're going to take 70% of this sign this big contract.
Georgia's going to pay you less illegal money now that you can make some real money.
Yeah.
We're going to give you a lot more.
And they're still
going to
take your
money.
Stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, wouldn't the NCAA step in at that point and be like, you can't, like, one school can't offer this amount of percentage and another school offer a different amount of percentage, because then it's just free agency. It's just whoever gets more money. Like, that's what it comes down to. Right?
Yeah, I mean, almost to an extent. Yes and no. Like, yes, like, okay, like, Georgia's taking some of the money. We probably, you know, aren't at this point. But at the same time, like, it's still, like, going to come down to how marketable a player is a lot of what it comes down to.
I feel like we're kind of rushing through this NIL stuff without really being strategic enough about it. And I think we need to, you know, be more careful and more thoughtful.
Yeah,
and you could also have the situation arise where boosters turn this into free agency with college athletes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, if you sign with Georgia, I'll give you $250,000 to, you know, take a picture for my newspaper.
Yeah, no, you know, absolutely.
I mean, that's definitely what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some guy from Tennessee, they're going to be pulling together their money. Hey, Arch Manning, they're offering him $250,000 to be in a newspaper ad. Can we
top that? Yeah, no,
but then
obviously.
Again, like, all the best athletes are going to the best schools anyways, and those are going to be the schools offering the money. So is it really going to change anything? Like, is it really like, we're still going to get Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson. Those are all going to be the top teams because they are going to most likely have the most money, the most marketability opportunities, right? They're on ESPN all the time. Absolutely. They're on Prime TV all the time. Like, I don't think it's going to change anything for the college football landscape, right?
And, like, as far as, like, basically how you kind of say, like, we're rushing through, well, like, the NCAA is definitely, they've been, you know, talking to the federal government. They're trying to get a federal law to, you know, kind of come up with a consensus of a framework of how this should work, you know, across the board. Like, if you know, Georgia could be doing this where they're taking 70% and pulling it together. We could be doing something where we take only, like, 50% and pull that together. Stuff like that. I mean, you know, just it fluctuates what goes on where. Stuff like that can kind of affect recruiting and, you know, have people certain advantages, disadvantages, stuff like that. So the NCAA is definitely pushing to make, you know, a generic across-the-board framework of how this should work. But while they're, you know, taking their time doing that, some of these states seem to just be jumping in and taking stuff into their own hands and going ahead and getting it done. So, pretty interesting there. That pulling together thing is interesting. They, like, that, I had to do a little bit of digging to find that actual, like, point. Like, a lot of the articles were basically talking just about, like, oh, yeah, they're allowing the kids to make money off their likeness now. Like, Georgia's ahead of the curve on this a little bit. Should help UGA, yada, yada, yada. But I think that's an interesting thing athletes are going to have to take into account. Like you said, like, if you're only getting $30,000 and you sign a $100,000 contract, you would be like, huh. Like, so you're using, you're using basically, it's still a university taking advantage of these kids to an extent, you know? Like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you're marketable to make all this money. Well, we're going to take it and be like, hey, we're doing the right thing by all our athletes by paying them, but we're using basically your money to pay everybody. So
I don't think they're taking advantage of athletes.
I think it's still taking advantage. If somebody signed, like you said, you'd be mad if somebody, if you signed a deal like that and they're like, oh, nope, sorry, we're using it for these other people. That's what they're doing. They're taking, you know, more, taking 70% of your contract and using it to, you know, pay everybody else. And being like, hey, look, we're doing the right thing by these athletes.
The players want.
Well, the players obviously would want 100%. They don't want you to take their money. If you can,
they
want
to be able to say, hey, if somebody wants to put my face on a billboard, they can, and I can get a check off that. That's what college athletes
want. They
want
to be able to do stuff like that. They don't want to be like, yeah, just be like, oh, yeah, it's okay, you want, like, obviously they want to be paid to an extent, but they don't want you to take it basically out of their pockets is basically where this is kind of going. Especially like you kind of said, like, there's going to be, like, the third string guy that's, like, not marketable at all. Like, third string center at Georgia that, you know, is not getting any deals. I mean, JT Daniels, if he gets all these deals signed, and, you know, he's still getting a check off of JT Daniels doing the work and being, you know, being marketable, stuff like that. And I think that's going to kind of just,
but it's a team, Cam. They're all together.
Exactly.
They're all
that's what
one.
They're
going to
market
there's
it
as. A team.
That's
well,
what
feel
they're
like
going to market
as. You also just have to redistribute the funds as long as you're part of the NCAA just because of Title IX regulations.
I mean, I think so, too. And, yeah, that's kind of why I think this is the thing is, you know, you gotta, you can't just be like, oh, yeah, we're not paying anybody. We're just kind of letting it be a free-for-all, yada, 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 on people making money off their likeness. Because, like, I know the NCAA, the way they were trending with their stuff was, like, when you do endorsements, you're not allowed to have, like, the school logos in it necessarily, stuff like that. But I don't remember their reasoning on that. But, like, yeah, like, you couldn't be in a car dealership commercial, for example, wearing, like, Tennessee Power T stuff. You just get about, hey, I'm whoever from this university, but you can't be using. I think they consider us you using the school's brand as the school should be having a cut of that. If you use that, they want you to just be strictly.
Make sense,
yeah, and they and you know the schools have licensed you know their logos and stuff like that, but they want you to if you're endorsing something, it has to be almost like purely you at this point. Which, like I said, does make sense to an extent for sure, since all that stuff is trademarked, stuff like that. That's just kind of the way it works. But, yeah, I mean, so, like, technically, I guess, like, you know, they're going to be paying athletes down there. But it is, like, yeah, kind of just coming out of a pool of everybody's endorsements. So if you're one of these random guys in a small sport or something, you're like, oh boy, I hope those football players can get some big contracts, you know, so you get a bigger cut with down the line as well. And it does kind of, I think it does kind of stink at the same time that it comes down to at the when you graduate is when you actually get this cut.
What are you pointing
you guys,
at?
You guys want to train all summer and go walk on at Georgia? We could use our extra year of eligibility.
I would say y'all got eligibility left. You applied to the NSA clearinghouse. You got steps you got to take to be able to just casually
get
out
there. We can be eligible.
Well, let me ask this, because you bring that up, and I think that brings up a good point. Like, third string center, he doesn't play any, but still going through the practices, still going through hell to get through all this.
That's the argument amongst, like, paying players and stuff like that. But, yeah. Yeah, you
just beating off him. Huh?
You better help him, like, market himself, you know, a little bit so you can get your check and things like that. But, it's going to be interesting. Interesting revelation there. I mean, this is the first time I've heard of, like, that method of, you know, going about it with the pulling stuff together. And, yeah, you have to wait till graduation as well to get this redistributed money is when they divvy it up. I guess they're going to take everybody that comes in at the same class, you know, take that year maybe. I don't know exactly how when they're going to start that process and start pulling the money together. Like, I don't know if, you know, JT Daniels, if he has, like, a couple years left, I don't know if they're going to take now and then, you know, redistribute it to everybody in those 2 years when he graduates or how it works like that. But
so you have to graduate to get any.
Yeah, it says upon athlete's graduation. So I'm assuming, you're gonna have to stick with the program.
So the guys that are making the money, like, most of them aren't gonna graduate.
Well,
I
don't know.
The ones that make the majority of the money,
they say graduation, but I don't know if it just means like upon, like, I assume if like JT Daniel leaves early to get drafted, they'd let him get his cut of the money because. You know, he's still, you know, big name for the university. I feel
still branding a little
bit. Yeah, I think they would still give him a cut. But yeah, if like a guy transfers out and you had already signed a couple deals or something, yeah, I feel like that rest of that money is gone. So it's something they're basically like middlemaning this a little bit and taking their cut of the pie and you know, giving it back, trying to Robin Hood it a little bit. Probably is how they're going to just market and brand this as stuff like that, but really interesting. It'd be interesting to see if other states kind of go this route as well. I don't know if Tennessee has any bills that they're working on currently, you know, as far as stuff like this, but like I said, I do know the NCAA is trying to push for just a consensus across the board on how this can work on a federal level. So we'll see. I think they delayed their last vote on, you know, what they were kind of trying to push forward.
Right.
It was supposed to be in January, but not sure as far how far back they've delayed it. But we'll see. This is going to be, like, big stuff over the next couple of years is if the, kind of get the legalized, you know, athletes making money off their likeness and stuff like that. But
I'm starting to lean with Chuck a little bit, man. I just think this just opens up so many other problems and so many other issues.
Yeah, and that's been the debate forever. It's just like, how do you do it and make it fair and, you know, cool for everybody, stuff like that. And it isn't. Like, that's just how, like, the capitalism lays out.
You either just create minor league football or you don't pay players.
Yeah, it's just kind of how the capitalism lays out. Like, the marketable guys are going to make their money. The not marketable guys are not. Like, that's just kind of how it goes.
Which I don't think that's unfair or anything. I mean, if you're a star quarterback, whatever, like, that's just how it is.
Yeah, but then you also talk about how, like, the third string
care
guy
about equality among all athletes at a program.
And like Draven said, like, the third string center, like, he's still going through, like, the workouts, all that kind of stuff. And that makes, you know, some of the guys saying, like, oh, well, we should, you know, we're doing the same things they're doing. You know, they just, you know, haven't gotten in the game.
They're not as good.
Yeah, exactly. But
the NCAA forces schools to not embrace capitalism to its fullest extent because they have to pretend to care about all their athletes and all their programs, and it just loses them money.
Until
you get rid of some of those regulations that call for equality among all programs, or you're not going to be able to pay players in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's a very hard thing to nail down logistically, and that's been the argument, you know, forever. Whether you agree or disagree that, you know, that players should be paid, it's just you also, like, understand that it is tough to have an easy way to make this happen. There's no easy answer to this, and, you know, people are trying to work it out. This was, I guess, Georgia's take on how to do it, and, I mean, like it says, I mean, it is going to get people across the board getting some money. It's just, you know, not as they're kind of taking it off some of these other guys' contracts and stuff like that. So we'll see how that ends up playing out. If it actually ends up, like, impacting Georgia's recruiting at all, helping, hurting, whatever it does. I feel like it may help recruiting in, like, the other sports outside of football. Because you're like, hey, okay, like, if I go here and these guys are making a ton of money, I'm going to get a cut of that, you know, stuff like that. And then on the football aspect, you're just like, do I want to go somewhere if it's going to take 70% of my money?
We're going to do this with every single, like, sports program at these universities. Like, not to offend these programs or whatever, but there's some where it's like pretty much almost anybody can join the team. It's almost like an open situation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's an open situation where they're kind of so desperate for bodies that they're just going to kind of take people. Some of these sports, not all, but I do think that's – it's like, man.
NCAA regulated ones, though, I feel like – I don't know. I think you're underselling how hard it is to be a part of those teams.
I don't know.
I think the rowing team at Tennessee is pretty open.
I knew the rowing team is
pretty open to join, but to stay on it is incredibly hard.
They
train more frequently and harder than almost any sports program we have, honestly.
I understand that, but also at the same time, I have literally, like, I have friends that told me, like, oh, yeah, they just stopped this girl running down the street. Was like, hey, we see you're out here running, like, you want to try rowing?
Yeah, like, and stuff like that. Like, that's the case. Like, to be on, like, to join initially, but it's not. It's pretty hard to stay on the team.
Okay, that's fair. I'm with Ken. Like, I had a friend in high school who basically was like, had no qualifications, and she just like applied for it or whatever, and they were like,
they
also, "Hey, like, come on the team, join the team."
They also recruit.
Welcome.
Yeah,
like, they recruit
I know
too.
I know
like, I was talking to a girl for a while that was on the rowing team that was like full scholarship, everything.
Really?
Yeah, like I know they do. And I mean,
a bunch of different places all over the country, right. And like chose Tennessee.
But yeah, it just becomes a hard situation when you have to also like cover sports like that, cover these other sports, and obviously like football's the big moneymaker at every school. So it just becomes weird when you know there's only so many limited actual like revenue producing sports and stuff like that. Yeah,
like at best.
Yeah, at best. Yeah, honestly, and so. It just becomes tough like that. So it's gonna be a hard conversation, you know, throughout the years to try to figure out a way, you know, to do this the best way. If because it does seem like they're trending this direction, at least likeness wise, is gonna be a thing. You know, it's probably not gonna be like actual like, oh yeah, we're gonna pay you, you know, biweekly or monthly or whatever paychecks. But the likeness stuff is gonna be you know, big conversations for the next couple years, and we'll have to see how it kind of plays out. And it's going to be real interesting to see, like, how much some of these players' like marketability is actually worth. Like, how much somebody's going to throw at these people. Like, like you said, there's some boosters out there that I feel like are willing to toss lots of money at some of these kids and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting. Going to be an interesting conversation for sure. But we'll probably switch gears a little bit on the other side. Take a quick break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Okay, I had some people tweeting in, kind of asking basically what happens if you leave early, and we kind of brought that up a little bit too, like if you leave early, stuff like that, if you still get a cut of this money through this Georgia bill. And so I found the like actual bill wording, and so basically what they say here is upon graduation or withdrawal for at least 12 months from the post-secondary educational institution, individuals who were student-athletes prior to such graduation or withdrawal shall be eligible to receive a pro rata share of the pooled contributions based on the number of months the individual was a student-athlete. And the post-secondary educational institution shall provide for the implementation of the provisions of this paragraph in a manner that does not discriminate against or treat differently individuals upon race, gender, or other personal status protected by federal state law. So basically, it seems like if you've been a student there and you make it basically 12 months before you either go pro, transfer, just I guess withdraw from the university in general, they're gonna basically you may not get everything because it's only 12 months, but they basically seem like they're gonna prorate it off of, you know, how long you were there. So you can still get a cut if you leave early, obviously. So, like, if you leave early for the draft and you were there, I'm assuming, you know, 3 years, 36 months, whatever, you'll get a cut of it. You probably won't get your biggest cut, obviously, because you're not, you know, making it through the 4 years, but you still are getting a prorated amount of the money. So you are still getting taken care of a little bit if you leave, which I guess is good for, obviously, the NFL guys, stuff like that. A little interesting, it's only 12 months. I was actually expecting it to be a little longer than that. I thought they would want you, you know, in their program probably at least like a couple years before. Because if somebody goes there for a year and transfers, and I guess, you know, if they're big enough name to sign an endorsement deal in that one year, I guess more power to them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you could get like a big name freshman come in, sign a bunch of endorsement deals and transfer out, and he's still getting, you know, his cut of the 70% that's pulled together. So that's pretty interesting there.
I wonder if there will be limitations to who and who you can and cannot advertise with. Like, I wonder if I was a starting quarterback in Georgia, if I could be like, hey, my favorite place to go celebrate after the games is the Ponies Gentlemen Club. Like, can they do that? Or if I'm, you know, in Colorado, like, best way to feel good after you've taken a beating on the football field is Michael's Dispensary.
There's wording in here. It said basically they can't sign a contract of anybody that basically is in conflict with the student athlete's team contract. So I'm assuming if you're a member of the team and they're like, hey, no drugs, alcohol, whatever, if you sign a contract with a place that's kind of like that, I feel like it's a violation of that team contract and you can't sign with him. I think that's the deal there.
Adam and Eve now for 20% off your order.
And it's going to come down to like the contract wording of obviously like, you know, what these student athletes sign on their, you know, letter of intent, stuff like that. Basically, the team rules and that kind of extent of stuff there. But it's going to be interesting how they do this. But yeah, it seems like there's a little bit of rules there. Looks like you can still get money if you leave early. And they may not even actually take up to 70%. The wording on this is a little vague to an extent. It says they cannot take up to more than, so I don't know if it's kind of almost like you're willing, almost what you're willing to put into this, or if the school is like, hey, you're dead set on giving us, like, you know, Georgia said 70%. I don't know if you're like dead set have to give that full 70%, or if you, you know, can be a little more lenient with what you want to, you know, submit to the pool. It's a little weird on the wording there. Kind of leaves it open for interpretation, I think. And I think that's one of the things that, you know,
that's
we'll come
what we
across.
Need for this. Yeah, that's what I we mean, need. Yeah. Interpretation for all this. That's great.
Yeah, because it says student athletes shall not be required to contribute an amount equal to or more than 75% of their compensation received. Which makes me think, like, when you say shall not be required, it makes me kind of think, like, okay, like, they can be forced to give a certain amount, but it seems like it's a little open to how much that amount can be, you know, forced. But, yeah, it's just going to be interesting across college, you know, college sports across the board here. It's going to be one of the big changes coming. And, you know, they're just kind of taking the initiative and kind of gone ahead and doing their own thing before, you know, I guess the NCAA comes out with a strict across-the-board federal announcement on this kind of stuff. And I don't know if that would, you know, effectively, like, overrule this. Like, if the NCAA comes out and is like, oh, no, you have to do this, this, and this instead. I don't know if that voids this entire thing or if NCAA just has to be like, okay, like, make a couple of amendments. You know, yeah. I don't know exactly how that will kind of play out there at that spectrum, but
for Tennessee, who is the who's the guy, who's the face getting put on the billboard right now? Who we putting up
right
there?
Right now?
Well, is it Maurer? We throw a Maurer up on
the billboard.
I think
whoever's
the starting
quarterback is definitely going to get a check.
And then
I'd
maybe
say
Alante
Hyatt
Taylor
has a shot. Yeah, Alante Taylor could do it. Anybody that's kind of got any sort of possible draft implications, but
on our team at all.
Yes and no. So, like, I'd say, like, no in the grand scheme of things, but also at the same time, I think there's lots of, like, local people be like, oh, I just, like, want a starting UT football player, and some of it's just semi-recognizable, you know, is going to get a chance. Like, it's not going to be huge, obviously, but There's going to be companies that are like, hey, we'll give you like $1,000 to, you know, do this for us, yada, yada, yada. So I think there's guys that will get checked. I think it'll be decently enough people. But, yeah, most marketable guy in Tennessee, I think you got to lean starting quarterback one. And then I think guys like the Jalen Hyatts, the guys that, you know, people know the names of and are at least a little excited about, like Valus Jones may get some, we possibly get some this year. I think just off the name factor and people kind of, you know, recognizing him. We don't have a ton of guys of it, you know, no. You know, jump off the board at no. all. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy definitely should easily be people calling him up trying to get deals out of him. Like, you know, obviously, like last year, that would have been like Trey Smith. Josh Palmer would have had a really good market there. But, yeah, this year's team, I couldn't tell you really a ton of people. But
I'm curious also, like, how many athletes are going to get a chance at this opportunity. Because, like,
yeah.
You know, or is it going to be a lot of these guys, even if you're just like a starting corner and not even that good? Do you get a chance at getting some advertisement money? Like, do you get a chance to be advertised or whatever, be in the commercials? Is that a thing? Or is it just going to be, you think, star players?
Yeah, no, it will be interesting on that aspect because, like, we got to know it a little bit here from, you know, selling advertisement and radio, stuff like that. There's only so many businesses around Knoxville, you know, like, there's only so many that actually want to, like, for lack of a better term, get in bed with, like, the sports industry, you know? So, yeah, there's going to be a cap on the market out there for these players. And, yeah, if you're one of those players that, like, they don't think there's more than five players worth, you know, giving some money to, it could end up just being a very, very small group of players getting the opportunity to do this and get their name out there. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting development. I mean, this is just one of those things that comes with the time a little bit, and it's going to be weird to see. It is going to be weird. You just drive down Kingston or something, and you see a big billboard of one of the UT players up there or whatever kind of, you know, goes on with that, or see a commercial on TV. It's going to be interesting. Going to be a little different, but.
Yeah, they had one of Trey Smith on campus last year. I wonder if he ended up getting any money for that. You know, that one, it's like near the railroad tracks over there.
Yeah, I know
there.
What you're talking about.
It was like a mask one, yeah.
Because he was still in school.
I don't think they paid anyone to be in that just because it was a PSA.
Yeah, I think it was just like a university thing, and I don't think they got a cut out of that. But, like, yeah, though, like, I feel like the Knoxville Health Department probably would honestly, like, pay a player, you know, if it's – you know, on the like a Trey Smith, if they were getting paid for this to do something like that, and be like, hey, like we would like you, you know, kind of, you know, especially with the way the pandemic was and stuff
I'm
like Elijah that.
Simmons but reminding you to wash your hands.
Exactly, like that's gonna be the kind of stuff we're gonna get. We're gonna get stuff like that. We're gonna get players being like, hey, like do this, do that, or hey, like my favorite car company is this place here, stuff like that. So it's gonna be weird. It's gonna be a little odd, but. It's just the way it's trending. So, going to be interesting to see kind of where how it plays out across the board and stuff like that. So,
what's so funny, Chuck?
I just keep thinking of really strange advertisements
for these students,
for student athletes in my head.
there's tons of possibilities out there.
And, I mean, the thing is, like, these guys are like. Most of these kids are going to be 18, 19. Like, if you get any opportunity, it doesn't matter what the company is.
Oh, yeah,
you will
take
that.
Check.
Yeah, you
take
will take that. Absolutely.
Regardless, so.
Shoot, I'll advertise for anyone in the world right now.
Yeah, everybody's
for
got
like
a price.
$20.
Everybody's got a price. But, yeah, I'm really interested to see how much, like, some of these companies are offering these players. And if we actually get to, like, see those numbers or if they kind of keep it, you know, under wraps a little bit. Because, like, we've mentioned, like, there's tons of boosters out there at some of these schools. We just, if they think this is what would help their university, help them win more games, they are more than happy to throw some money at some of these kids. So, obviously, we know that goes on behind the scenes in recruiting and stuff. Like, yeah, now that it can be out in the open, I feel like they're not even going to hesitate on some of this stuff. So
maybe LSU won't have to funnel money through a children's hospital anymore.
Yeah, maybe
Clemson
not.
Clemson through a megachurch.
Maybe not.
Mega church. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure most mega churches funnel money for stuff. not to put
Clemson,
a label
Clemson
out there.
Clemson funnels
but
money through a church. That's their thing.
Oh, yeah, I believe it for sure.
But at least
it's
not as bad as it's Children's Hospital Charity.
That is pretty bad.
The worst thing is that's not even like the fifth worst thing LSU's done in the last year.
Yeah, LSU loves to play around with the rules a little bit. They're a little vague on that spectrum, so...
Well, this out of the picture, I mean, like, what's the next thing the NCAA is going to be cracking down on?
That's a good question. I mean, like, yeah, if they can't crack down on likeness
really
and stuff.
They're just going to get really into drug testing.
I was about, like, yeah, I feel like they're going to be doing something. And this, like, the way we're talking about this, man, it sounds like it's going to be so hard to regulate. Like, it's going to be so hard to keep up with and all these percentages and everything.
That's why
NCAA
is pushing for that, like the consensus across the board at the federal level. Because, it will be all over the place if every school's doing a different thing.
Every state,
and it will become,
too.
Like, a recruiting tactic, too. Because, like, if Georgia's like, yeah, we're taking 70%. You know, Ohio State would be like, oh, well, we're only taking 60. And Bama could be like, oh, well, we're only taking 50. Like, and it just becomes
a
whole...
negative 10%.
Yeah, like,
we just compound on what they pay you.
We'll give you interest on what you're getting.
We have a multiplier. You get to spin the wheel.
Yeah, so exactly. So it could become just basically like bidding war a little bit on, you know, what percentage, what you're kind of doing on that aspect. And that just... You know, it becomes a whole other thing there.
They were willing to illegally pay Cam Newton $250,000 like a decade ago.
Yeah, oh, yeah, a decade ago.
Count for how money's gone
up.
And if you could do it legally, like,
Arch
Manning, I think they would. I think a school would pay $1 million for Arch Manning.
Honestly, $1 million? I think you could get a few boosters together and pull it together and be like, hey, like, we're going to claim it.
Depends on the school, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it could be like shell company. Like, I think there's gonna be some like shell companies, stuff like that. They're just like, oh, it's just a bunch of boosters.
Pilot is about to be paying kids like $80,000 for like per advertisement.
You're gonna get a company that's just gonna be a bunch of boosters that pool together their money and try to get a kid here. And it's, you know, it's gonna be like, oh yeah, no, they're advertising with this company. It's just gonna be a bunch of boosters. But
that's just so crazy to think about, like. Like Arch Manning, you bring up him, like, we don't even know if the kid's gonna be good. Exactly. Like, he could be getting a $100,000 check before he even touches the field. Yeah, like, that's 18. Like,
that happens a lot, though, already.
And I was gonna bring that up.
Like, going to visit, you leave with a backpack.
I was about to say, a lot of this does go on behind the scenes, but still, like, kind of bringing it out to the open a little bit sounds a little crazy.
So much. Let's just keep it in the shadows and pretend like we care.
But that is
the
thing, though, Chuck. Like,
sports.
Hank brings up a good point. It already does happen. So why not just kind of make it pen to paper? Just kind of have some receipts on all this.
Because once you make it pen to paper, that's when the regulations affect things. You're not having to give, you know, the women's basketball team the money that you're giving the 18-year-olds when they come on recruiting trips. But once you make it legal, you do. And that's when sports get ruined, because then once they're like, oh, well, now we have to give the tennis team money, we're done with tennis. But when it's illegal, you don't have to give the tennis team money. You can just pay the players. And, you know, so I think the NCAA knows that every school's doing it. And I think that, you know, every once in a while they just pick a few schools to investigate for a couple of years and give probation to make to
how is that any better, though?
To put up the front that they still care. Even though I don't think they actually care. That way you can continue to illegally pay them and you can protect the integrity of the sport and continue to play these other sports with these other programs that other you wouldn't otherwise be able to do if it was legal and regulated. And I hate that we're starting to make things legal and regulated within college sports because it's going to change everything. So, I mean, honestly, just enjoy like these next 5 to 10 years of college sports.
Tell me what it's going to change for just a regular viewer watching college football. Like, I don't think it's going to change anything. You think these players are going to like show less effort because they're getting
What's it going to change? Who's Tennessee play this year? Bowling Green? Take that game off the schedule.
Good.
I
don't want to watch Bowling Green anyway. Give me another SEC game. Give me another decent game.
You want to watch Wednesday night action? The MAC doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think a lot of people care about the MAC either, Chuck.
I don't think you are. Yeah, I think you're severely underestimating Wednesday night action.
And that's fine. If you want to watch football on Wednesday night, watch Buffalo take on, like you said, Bowling Green, be my guest.
How about college baseball? You know how many programs are going to disband?
Say pretty much everybody except the SEC, just about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right on that now.
What about college basketball? You know how many programs are going to disband? Football even, how many programs are going to disband? All those players that, you know, didn't get their opportunity to get scouted and go to these big schools that then would have earned their opportunity otherwise are now just not going to get that chance? And all because we're too dumb and short-sighted to realize that giving a kid a backpack with $20,000 in it
Well, you're getting off the spectrum a little bit, because we're not just straight hopping the pan players. It's the likeness stuff. The likeness stuff is different. It's not going to completely dissolve everything.
And some of these smaller schools could get, like, hell, like a little local spot in their hometown.
Yeah,
no, there's
places
that will
give,
like, you tell me they can't get that at the damn dry cleaners?
You kind of underestimate how much some of these places are worth. Advertising money is, like, it's most businesses have that in their budget. Like, They're gonna take advantage of that, especially in these little college towns, stuff like that. But good conversation on that. We've hit basically the end of hour one. We'll kind of hit this break here, come back with hour two headlines. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Does your business need storage space? Do you need someone to safely deliver your product to you or your customers? With almost